Turn your Bibles to the book of Mark. Mark chapter 4, starting at verse 36. I was asked to give my testimony here this morning. And I want to do that. But what I want to do first is read from the scriptures and let you know that salvation, when anybody gets saved, it's a miracle. God is still in the business of doing miracles today. We think of miracles to be a great many things, but let me read the text first. And then we'll discuss that for a brief moment. Mark chapter 4, starting in verse 36. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship. And there were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, waves, beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep, speaking of the Lord Jesus, in a pillow. And they awake him, and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind, and said unto the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? And they feared exceedingly, and said one to another, What manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him? Now, I kind of stand on the side of the disciples and say, I would have been awe-stricken myself. I would have looked at this and said, what just happened here? These guys are fishermen. They understand how aggressive the sea can be. I mean, a swimming pool in a lake can look beautiful. When you see a big wave, a lot bigger than your ship, water can turn into your enemy so fast it'll make your head spin. And he just stop the wind, calm the water, by the power of his word. It's miraculous. Nobody did that. But what we're about to read, to me, this is my personal opinion, chapter 5, verse 1. And they came over unto the other side of the sea, into the country of the Gadarenes. And when he's come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs. And no man could bind him, no, not with chains, because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces, neither could any man bind him. And always night and day he was in the mountains and in the tombs crying and cutting himself with stones. But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him and cried with a loud voice and said, What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not. And he said unto him, Come out of him. Come out of the man. And one clean spirit. And he asked him, What is thy name? And he answered, saying, My name is Legion, for we are many. And he besought him much that he would not send them away out of the country. Now there was there nigh unto the mountains a great herd of swine feeding, and all the devils besought him, saying, Send us into the swine, that we may enter into them. And forthwith Jesus gave them leave. And the unclean spirits went out, and entered into the swine, and the herd ran violently down a steep place into the sea. They were about 2,000, and were choked in the sea. And they that fed the swine and told it to the city and in the country, and they went out to see what was done, and they came to Jesus and see him that was possessed with the devil, and he that had the legion sitting and clothed and in his right mind. And they were afraid. Again, another miracle. And the response of those that beheld the miracle was fear. One exceedingly feared, and here they were afraid. And they saw, and they that saw it told them how it befell him that was possessed with the devil, and also concerning the swine. And they began to pray him to depart out of their coast. And that's a response that I wasn't waiting for. But it did happen. And when he was coming to the ship, he that had been possessed with the devil prayed him that he might be with him. Howbeit Jesus suffered him not, and said to him, go to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for you, and hath had compassion on you. And he departed and began to publish in Decapolis the great things Jesus had done for him. And it's a good response, right? I wasn't waiting for Jesus to tell them that just got saved, listen, I want to follow you wherever you go. No. What I want you to do is I want you to tell everybody the great things I did for you. Things. A lot happened to Legion. It was a miracle that Legion got saved. I love how clearly the scriptures set this salvation up. It told you what his situation was. He was dwelling in tombs, a sinner dwelling among the dead. Isn't that exactly who we were before Christ? We dwelt among the dead, not the living. We were dead. Jesus alive is what it says. And then what else does it say? And no man can bind him. Zero self-control. He hung out among the dead. You couldn't show this guy right from wrong. And you couldn't even hold him down with chains. You can tell that there was not only an outward suffering of his situation, but there was an inward rage, an inward turmoil, inward chaos that nobody seemed to not only understand, but they couldn't tame him. They spoke of him as a wild animal. They just couldn't do nothing or say nothing. Yet this man, as we would say, straight. Bring healing. They tried chains, they tried fetters, they tried all kinds of things, eventually just excluded him from society and just let him dwell with pigs because he was unclean. He had an unclean spirit, so he dwelt with unclean animals. What they were doing with those unclean animals is another story. One encounter with Jesus Christ is all it took. It's amazing to me that the minute the legion saw Jesus Christ, he went running to him and worshiped. Lord only knows, you gotta bribe some people to come to church and worship. He went and fell before the Lord. Because the devil's in the church. They mentioned in my name. They even mentioned his divine pedigree. Son of God. And they said that their request was, let us stay in the neighborhood. We like it here. It's dirty. It's nasty. It's dead. Just the way we like it. It was conflict. Because you can see that Legion was suffering. He would cry all hours of the night and cut himself. Sure, many of us have known all this, have heard about that situation of coming, people with depression. Basically, they want to try to get their mind away from their inner pain, and so they try to cause inner pain in order to have a pain bigger than the one they're suffering is. And it causes them relief. What we would think would be painful actually causes them relief. I don't understand all of it, that's what I hear it is. So here he is, this man is cutting himself and crying. Clearly see that there was an inner turmoil here. Something we could not possibly describe. He wasn't possessed of the devil. There were many, many that have decided that they found a home inside this man. There was no healing capabilities here. This is one that would have psychiatry and psychology scratching their heads. You just would not be able to deal with this. This is something that had to be dealt with. You think that Jesus went to the Gadarenes by mistake? Maybe the wind set his boat that way? I don't think so. He went to Good Samaria. This man met Jesus Christ once. Now remember, before this, you had the miracle of the storm. A lot of people can quote that miracle, word for word. After this, you have Jairus' daughter, right? Who gets risen from the dead. After that, you have the woman that had all these issues, right? For 12 years. Touched his garment, boom, the divine fabric. She got healed. He felt his power come up and enter this wound and cause healing. These are all miracles. But this man was imprisoned within himself. He couldn't go to a place more alone and feel more suffering. He just couldn't get away from it. One encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ is all it took. It says that he ran around naked. Now, when you see nakedness in the New Testament, it usually equates to shame. From Genesis all the way up, nakedness is a symbol of shame. This man was ashamed. Whatever happened before this situation, I'm almost certain, I can't tell you, I can't be dogmatic about that. He wasn't born that way. He was playing with something he shouldn't have been playing with. He was doing something he shouldn't have been doing, and demons, most of them said, this is the guy. This is the place to hang out. This is going to be our domain. And many came in after him. There was no hope. There was no love. There was no compassion. There was no joy. Even in the most sinful stage, you know, there's little spits in our lives that we can remember. There was moments of joy. We didn't even understand how to fully comprehend joy. But we knew that things were right. I think about my daughter, my first daughter, when she was born. I never felt any more joy in my life in that moment. I first held my first child. This man couldn't feel any of that. Didn't have any relationships. I mean, he was messed up. Jesus healed the messed up. Right? You know what I love about many things? You know, in New York City, when you walk around New York City, sometimes, especially in the heat that's in them, there's garbage cans downtown full to the top. Homeless people, well, they do what they have to do. They have to be as resourceful as they can in order to survive. Some people will take a bite of a pizza and they throw it in the garbage, but it's in the top. So it could certainly be that nasty. Do you see them sometimes picking up this stuff and eating it? Might be disgusting to you, it's a matter of survival to them. They're so used to it, they don't even see anything wrong with them. But you'll never see them digging through that garbage can to take that slice of pizza from you. Why? Because it's rotten to the core. It's mush. It's decayed. It's absolutely useless. You couldn't grab it if you tried. And the stench is unbearable. That's what God goes to. He goes for the bottom of the matter. And he saves that person to the uttermost. And he makes them as white as snow so that no one can get the glory but Jesus Christ. That's what he does. That's what God is in the business of doing. And that is what he did. Fourteen years old, hanging with the wrong crowd, that testimony is a dime a dozen. Started drugs. I couldn't tell you much. The next 14 years after that day, it was one drug party after the other. By the age of 17, I was already dealing drugs. Drug dealers are resourceful people. You know, you wanted to get high, you either had a lot of money, or you had to sell to make sure you have it. Some Washington Heights, New York. Washington Heights, New York, at that particular time, in the beginning of the George Washington Bridge, was fully in Connecticut. They ran the joints in and out of Washington Heights. I had a good disconnection, repertoire, whatever you want to call it. I was connected with these guys. And started in my high school, George Washington High School, lived in 90th Street in Washington Heights, selling there. Eventually was so successful, and we just kept on going. The thing about it is this. If you would have told my teachers and my professors that Richie Benitez was a drug addict, was a drug dealer, they would look at you. I was good at school. I looked at school. It was the nicest they ever tell you about that. But I was a drug addict. I was a drug dealer. And I graduated second to the inventory at a drug dealer. I love school, love sciences. As a matter of fact, there was a time when now I didn't really have to buy it because I can go to the lab and make cocaine with lidocaine and other chemicals to accommodate my height and my weight so I could be high 24 hours, 7 days a week, and nobody would be back. Except that's when somebody would be missing. It was a lifestyle. Everybody. I mean, I didn't know a single soul, in my circle at least, that didn't get high. I didn't even understand how people congregated with one another and laughed and had a good time and fun on birthday parties, weddings, you name it. I couldn't even understand why anybody would walk out the door to these events without being. What do you like? What do you have fun? What do you do? And so it was normal. Absolutely normal to that behavior. The normal wasn't becoming so many. The age of 19, the cops started getting a little close. And I was in a drug cartel. I might have been billions of dollars or anything like that. That's very far and few. You know, this business about living that you see on TV or millions of dollars and living in mansions, that's very rare. That's one in a million. You know, usually, you know, you can have a couple of $1,000 in your pocket or something like that, and even then, you would be lasting. Somebody was always trying to get your spot. And eventually, your friends and your enemies who cared, your customers who write you out in a minute, you know, if you didn't cut a deal, whatever it was, you know, there was always some kind of conflict and drama going, but that was the whole thing. Why? Make sure you sold more drugs so you can get high, and it got high, and you didn't have joints, and you had to sell more joints. And that was a cyclical thing. And I never thought that it would ever stop. It's impossible for me to even conceive that this would never end. This, to me, you never think that you would die, you would end up in prison. Sure, you know, you always get away with it, you know, that type of thing. Prisons are full of people that thought they were going to get away with it. But they didn't. So I had to get a job. I had to get legit. I had to get a car for their pocket, and I never knew leaving down on my mind. And so I did. Let me know how much time I had, bro. Did that, Chris.
I have 10 minutes at the moment.
And so my cousins told me. They told me the union called them the union company every year. And so I go to the hospital in St. Vincent's Hospital and they tell me to the union, starting up for the job. And interview, this is the most ridiculous interview you've ever seen. The guy told me, you know what this is? I know it's a metal leaf now. I said, you know what that is? It was a joke. I said, I didn't mean that. It's okay. How about that over there? It was a metal leaf. And never seen it before. He said, do you know what that is over there? I said, that's a 25-pound sledgehammer. He says, you start. And for years, it's all I did was bang down walls, just demolish one wall to the other to change the landscape of the hospital and building, whatever it is that they needed. And so there I was, and I was thinking to myself, I got a legitimate job. This is so weird. Like, these people work all week for like $450. I mean, that's weird. But I had a legit job. And if this works out, maybe I can stop doing what I'm doing. I knew that it couldn't go on forever. At one point in time, I've seen enough of my guys get shot, killed, or in prison to know that one day it was going to be my turn. So, I might have been ignorant, but I wasn't that stupid. I mean, I knew it would stop at one point or another, and it wasn't going to be pretty. It never made me stop. So I figured, I get this legit job. I might just be like other people. That's something. I mean, to me, that was like, wow. As a matter of fact, I made more drug sales in that hospital than I made in any street in Houston, Texas. Doctors, surgeons, nurses, everybody was getting high. I mean, and I didn't even have to leave my shop. It was the greatest thing ever. Money just, they came to me. I didn't have to go to the shop. And so that's the mentality that happened. I guess that didn't work. Then I met the woman of my dreams. And I told my group leader at the time, I'm going to marry that girl. He says, you're crazy. He said, the whites don't mix with the greens. I was maintenance, so I dressed in green, and they were professionals, so they dressed in white. Whites don't mix with the greens, and it was pretty much true. I said, yeah, I don't know. And so, I kept that a good story short. Eventually, I got to date the woman of my dreams. Eventually, we dated, got engaged, and got married in 7 months. I said to myself, I got married. I'm living with somebody else. It's not about me now. It's about somebody else. Maybe this is my time. Maybe I don't have to do this ever again. Maybe I can, this is it. This is normal. I can't tell Lisa about my life. This has got to stop. It didn't. Cocaine is not physically addictive. Understand that. It's not. It's not like heroin or anything of that. I mean, even marijuana can be physically addictive. It has a high content of nicotine and it can be very addictive. But not cocaine. Cocaine is highly psychological.
It makes you feel like you can just about take anything, and without it, you are certain to be nothing. That's what that is. That's what cookie is. It makes you into Superman, and without it, you are garbage. That's what cookie is. And I hated feeling that, so I was always up.
Eventually, Lisa did find my stash. You know, I mean, again, drug addicts are very resourceful liars who, you know, we take advantage of just about everybody. And I say we because it's who everyone is. And lying is commonplace, burning bridges behind you, commonplace, getting away with things, commonplace. It's just, you learn how to do it, it becomes an art for you. It's just hard to explain. It's hard, really. You begin to really believe your own lies. And she did find my stash. Her friends, I mean, for years. I mean, we've been married 3 years. She had no idea who she married. But she married a drug-dealing drug addict. And her friends were my best customers. Radio. Those guys were nice. They were nice with me. And she must have had some woman. She didn't put a finger until she found the stash. And, you know, I had to tell her, this is me. You know, I mean, this is what it is. I'm never going to stop. I mean, you got to understand that. There is no way, no how, that I will ever stop being a cocaine. That's not good. And, well, she said, you're going to end up in prison. You're going to end up dead. Something's going to happen. I was ready to just pack up my bags and leave, thinking that she didn't want anything to do with me. She was the strongest one. She said, that's not what's done. We don't just leave. You're going to either kill yourself or you're going to end up in prison, but you're not just leaving. That's not what's going to happen. And so, on we went. Our first daughter was born, Krista. Krista, when she was young, when she was 2 years old, maybe she started learning how to walk and walk around, she found my stash. It wasn't much. It was 2 grams of Colombian uncut cocaine. It's so uncut, it was like beige-ish brown. Hard to explain. But you're supposed to cut that many times before you can sell. That's how truly this made that move. If she would have touched and put her finger in it, there's a good chance she would have died. You think that's not me? That would stop just about any man with half a heart. It's your firstborn child. I just confessed to you. It was one of the most joyful moments in my life. And I was ready to see that die before I could stop. For the first time, I understood, being shot out loud, that I didn't do cocaine. Cocaine was doing me. It had a control on me. I could not leave. Not that I wouldn't, I couldn't. I cannot even conceive. Then, when I was working at St. Vincent's Hospital, there was this big redneck fella. I mean, he was a big dude. His name was Tommy Horton. And Tommy, he's in fellowship now. Tommy, he was a minor league hockey player. He had an injury. 6 hexadecimal bumps in his back, still to this very day. And so, obviously, he was off the ice, and he got a job, and he ended up being an HVAC guy that was a contractor in the hospital. And this guy was a pain in the neck. You had no idea. He would talk about Jesus this, and Jesus that, and Jesus this, and Jesus that, and it's like, you know, this graffiti on his forehead. It would be like, you, when you saw him coming, here we go. You just knew. And you know, hey, Richie, how you doing? And I would curse, and I would say all things that I don't want to say here. I used to push him through his body, just anything to try to get this guy to swing. I mean, if he would have swung, he would have been open. But that was the book. To show that this Jesus thing is fake. There's nobody that can be that happy with it.
Listen, born and raised in New York City, there's me for me. Be happy to be happy. That's just the way it is. And so, it was 7 or 8 years of this torture. This man used to, it was so bad that I used to follow Tommy during lunch to see if he would do what the contractors do. They went out. They ate lunch outside the hospital. They would just whistle at girls and say things as they pass by. Man, I just wanted to hear a syllable. As a matter of fact, it was crazy because at that time, the Hispanics used to hang out with the Hispanics, white people with white people, black folks with black folks. It wasn't that, a lot of it's hard, but it's just the way it was. You know, you just kind of knew where you belong. It is what it is. Black folks, hey brother, how you doing about this? Smitty, I remember Smitty. Brother Smitty, how you doing? Hey brother Tommy. And he would just cross all these boundaries and, you know, look at brothers in the Lord and talk about Jesus and all this stuff. And I was really good at getting people fired. But you'd have to hear that story after we get back. And you'll see how the Lord used this pain in the man. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for these miracles that we see. Jesus, help us to never, never, never stop believing that you stop miracles. You are doing miracles today. You've never ceased. Every soul that's saved is a miraculous transformation. So I pray, Lord God, that you would help us be part of your miracles, that we would engage those that we would never think in a million years would get saved. With the gospel of Jesus Christ. Help us not to fear the miracle. Help us not to be afraid. Help us to tell. And help people get saved. And help us to see their lives being transformed right before us. Nothing brings more excitement to a believer's life than being used of God to lead someone. Help us to do that. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.